Yo, welcome to the Gig Life Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie Taylor. My guest today is no stranger to the show. Fran Cora is back. It was really great to reconnect with him again. His band Cora are really busy. They've just come off a big summer of shows in New Zealand, and they're just about to hit the Aussie shores here for a run of shows. Hey, let's just get into it, eh? This is episode 147. Fran Cora returns. Here we go. I think we're rolling. Welcome back, Fran Cora.
Hey, kia ora, brother. How are you, man?
Nice, bro. Good. Yeah, real good. Good to see you again.
Yeah, good to reconnect, bro.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
It has. So the first time we've met a few times, but the first time we hung out on the podcast was back in 2018. And then the last time was when I was doing, we were in full-on lockdown over here in 2021.
Yeah, man.
And I was having a hard time getting people to come on the podcast just to...
Yeah.
Yeah, so I had that idea of doing a few gig stories. Yeah, so we hung out one night, and I only ended up putting out one of your stories because I listened to that again last night. I was going through back that whole recording. Yeah, then there was probably only one there that we could have released.
Yeah. Oh yeah, glad you released that one, bro.
Yeah, bro. All right, bro. So yeah, I thought we'd have a bit of a catch up, man, because yeah, it's been a few years, and you've been awfully busy, and Cora's going hard out at the moment.
Yeah, it's been a mean summer.
Yep.
Especially in comparison to last summer, we had heaps of rain in North Island, man. Heaps of shows were cancelled, and you know it was a real downer last year. So this year has been nothing but sunshine, and all the festivals have just been going hard out.
That's
been mean. Mm. Yeah, man.
So okay, so how much was cancelled then?
Last year there were four big shows that were cancelled.
Wow.
And it was almost as though the cyclone followed, because it was like weekend to weekend.
Yeah.
So there was like one weekend, there was Cyclone Gabrielle happen. Then that festival moved just a little bit further south, and then, yep, rain hit that again. Then they went all the way to South Island. They got smashed by the tail end of the cyclone. So it was just, yeah, it was terrible, man. Then it was like what happened in Hawke's Bay with the floods. And, you know, the cyclone, yeah, it was just a real terrible year for the country, not just for music, but just in general, and especially in the North Island. Mm. This year, not so much, nothing but good weather, and, whew, man, I'm kind of running to the end of the summer. So we've got our last show this coming weekend in New Zealand.
Yep.
Last summer show in Whangarei before we come over to Aussie.
Yeah, looking man. Forward to that.
Yeah.
All right. So the gig, I'm just got your social media up here. So the gig you did in the weekend was Cora 1814, Kings and Gorilla. Is that right?
Oh no, that's this coming.
Oh,
weekend.
That's this week. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
That's this week coming.
Yeah, right.
The one
no,
we did on the weekend was House of Shem, yep. 1814, Herb's Acoustic, Luke Fanga, and I forgot the other cousin's name, but yeah, no, it was fun, man.
Rocky Ponting.
Yep. And yeah, that was fun. It's mean.
So talk a little bit about the lineup in Cora now.
Yeah, the full lineup is a 7-piece band. Darren Mathiason on the drums, Marika Hodgson on the bass, Stewie, Richie, and Dan, still the OG members, still there. And I got my bro Carlos Tunks on the guitar, on the other guitar. And I'm doing the vocals.
Yeah, that's cool. So... So I know a little bit about the others. So Carlos, where's he from? What's his story?
Tunks is actually from Dunedin, but he hails all his whānau's from Te Whānau Apanui. But he grew up in Dunedin. He went to jazz school, and I actually don't know which jazz school he went to, with guitar, and played in a bunch of bands and stuff after he'd come back from Japan. Him and his wife were doing residencies in places in Japan and played there for a few years. He came back, he joined Troy Kingi for a couple of things, and just the sweatshop band up in Auckland. Yeah, we just connected because through a modern Māori called Tech gig.
Okay.
And yeah, we've been real close mates ever since.
Yeah, that's
so
cool.
That's the bro.
Yeah. Awesome. So is it good not to not be playing an instrument, just being up the front? Because you're the bass player and core for a long time.
Yeah, it's fun. I still get my chance to just be the person in the back on the bass with other bands that I play here in Papamoa locally.
Yep.
And I still prefer to be on the bass, bro, in the background, you know. I don't sweat no near as much.
Yeah. Not as many people looking at Jay. But there's a few photos on your social media and the ones that stand out to me are the photos of you standing on the speaker. Just with your arms out like that, right? So that got me thinking about what that must fucking feel like, right? So do you remember the first time you did that and the first time you got some sort of reaction? And is it sort of a similar feeling now, or is it like, oh, fuck, I've got to do this?
No, it's more of a, like, myself and Lordy, my oldest brother, when we went to drama school, you know, so we learned a whole bunch of, I would say, techniques tricks in terms of energy. And one of the biggest things I took away was your audience is just a mirror reflection of what you give them. So the more you power out energy towards them, the more it's received back. So it's a conversation between the performer and the audience. So when you see photos like that, that's all it is just giving them as much energy as possible. And then that's reciprocated and it comes right back at you. And then I call it a theatre technique because that's what a play is. It's when you go to a theatre show or a play, that's the sense of play between the performance and the audience. Just energy techniques and performance techniques. So, and then you watch someone like Freddie Mercury or John Tugard from She-Head, they do the exact same thing, man. Anyone that blasts out energy like that, you know, people go, wow!
Do you have, say you've got the set list in front of you, do you sort of pre-plan when those little techniques are going to come in, or you just read the room?
You have to read the room.
Yep.
There's no way it can be, I suppose if it's a show that you're going to and it's exactly the same show every time, then yeah, you'd hit it in the same spot, which a lot of the big acts do, but it's different every time. You're moving around, you know, you're never in the same place at the same time, so the audience is different. So you've got to, like, there's a point where there's a synergy between the band where you finally go, yes, we got them, then you can go. Then you're playing, you know. You've done that, bro. You've done gigs and you're just trying to figure out, oh, what do these guys like to listen to? And then when you got them.
Yeah.
You know, then the rest of your night's sweet. So it's no different than that.
Since we chatted last time, you've released a fair bit of music, core of some singles, right? So Dancing in the Rain, Falling for You, Lover. I'm not sure if Lover was out before we chatted or maybe, that was around 2021 and then Gone and Champion, right? So are you just going for the singles thing? Or do you have plans to do an album and release an album?
We're trying to do an EP at the moment. It's just an interesting thing. We were just trying to figure out, just because, to be fair, like, albums still have power.
Yep.
It's different now, you know. You can make an album and everyone is just streaming, man. So it's like you can invest, let's say you got $100,000 with your time, studio time, you make this album and then it doesn't fly and then people stream it and they only stream like two or three songs that they like from the album. And that's kind of annoying, you know.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's easier to pump out singles, but it hasn't really gone in our favor in terms of with the singles, because an hour still album still holds a lot of, it's a piece of work.
Yep.
Together with a bunch of songs, and for some reason people still prefer that you drop an album. The sad fact is, bro, no one's paying for it.
Yep.
And that's why it was like, hey, singles are cheaper to pop out. We can write whatever we want. On the back end of that as well, when we were dropping singles, we were dropping singles that were just like, we just could write whatever we wanted to. So if you put them all together, there wasn't really any cohesion.
Yep, gotcha.
You know, there wasn't any through line in terms of the sound. So we managed to find out what that is, which is just going back to the roots of heavy funk, rock funk, really. Bit of dub now and then, but as long as it's heavy and it's funky. Mm. Yeah, still trying to figure that out, bro. Like, when was the last album you bought?
I'm right back into vinyl, man, so I'm buying albums all the time now.
Yeah, yeah, yep. Cool.
And enjoying the whole experience, putting it on, you know, my record player's just there, and I put the album on, and I just sit there and I listen to that side, and then it stops, which means I got to go turn it over.
Yeah, yeah, listen exactly, to the whole thing. Bro.
Yeah, and I think so good.
That's whenever I ask that question, bro, it's like people just say the same thing. I buy vinyl now.
Yep.
Because you've got a piece of work there, you know, whereas streaming is just like, what are we getting per stream on Spotify? 0.00064
is that right?
Cents per play, you know? So something's not right here, you know?
Mm.
It's
So just on
backwards.
On vinyl then. So what's the, I haven't been back to New Zealand for a while, so what's the record store sort of situation like? Is there a lot of record stores popping up, coming back? Or is it still still the old?
Yeah, you still got Real Groovy, you still got the Steamboat and Wally's Crew and all that stuff. There's Aotearoa Records, who they're very strongly behind vinyl being released and stuff on their platform on Instagram. There are a bunch of other guys. Sadly, vinyl doesn't make bands a lot of money.
Yep.
It's expensive to press.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's still great to have a vinyl release.
Yep.
Just because it's a piece of art and people hold it and cherish it the way we used to when we were younger, you know?
That's it.
You didn't have the song, but you went out and bought it at the shop.
That's it.
Nowadays, it's just on streaming, so it's a different world. And it's just trying to figure out how can you monetize that to make it worth everyone's while. And it's still just through gigs, bro.
Yeah.
You know, gigs is where the money's at.
So like with the pressing of vinyl, like I like to support the local artists here in Sydney when they release vinyl for any of the music they release, I buy it, right? So
yeah.
But a lot of it is especially the vinyl side of it is done through crowdfunding. So they'll have a crowdfunding campaign so they can, you know, make 100 sort of vinyl out of their album that they've already, you know, got up on streaming. So
yeah.
Is that happening a bit in New Zealand?
I know that there's I just grabbed the LEB vinyl the other day actually, and I don't know how it's working over here, bro. I know there's a few places here that can press as well, but most people press their stuff overseas.
Okay.
Probably because they can do it in bulk and it'll be a little bit cheaper. Yep. But to be fair, you don't make a lot of money as an artist through vinyl.
Yep.
It is great to release it, but it's not really a moneymaker, you know?
Yeah, fair enough. So it's more of a sort of a collector's sort of thing, right?
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Now, you were talking about this, you know, the style of music that you sort of label with Cora, right? And I remember back in when Light Years came out, so the name Alien Funk sort of popped up, right? So are you still using that?
Yeah, I think it just confused a lot of people, so yeah. We just call it heavy funk now, which is the same, but just heavy funk, bro.
Yeah,
and that's, you know, we wrote a dub track the other day and it was just heavy. So we're just like, yep, like that. It's going back to our roots.
Yep.
And just you have to enjoy what you write, bro.
Yep.
You know, there's some stuff I just like, oh, has been released and wasn't quite where you wanted it to be. But, hey, it's good to get it out in the world and then you can move on to the next thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
So what's out of those new... That sort of new bunch of music over the last sort of 3 or 4 years, what's the standout for you? What's the one that hits for you?
I really like Secret Lover.
Yep.
And also really enjoy, the new ones, really. All Over and Gone.
Yep.
All for different reasons. And definitely All Over is a good one because it's nice to have a band in the studio room.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask. So how's the writing, recording process go? Because I know it was a lot of the time it's yourself and Dan together.
Yep.
So, yeah, how much of that sort of newer music is it the band in a room?
Well, Al Over was pretty much the last one that we did where the band was in the room, which we only really caught the rhythm section.
Okay.
So two guitars, the bass and the drums, and then we layered all the other stuff on top of it.
Yep.
But, it's you still can't beat it, man. You capture the communication between the players in the room, and if you capture that right, it just – you can't program that shit, you know?
Yeah, gotcha.
It's got the reason why the music that I like to listen to is a lot of the older stuff, man, is because they captured it way better than they do today.
Yeah, gotcha.
It's just not overprocessed. It's like, you know, what you hear is what you get, and that's the pure essence of what you're trying to say as an artist sometimes, you know, of the communication between the players and what it is that you – the energy and the feel that you want it to sound like, and you can't program those drums.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. I know you're a bit of a gearhead, right? So, what's your latest purchase? I remember when we were talking way back in 2018, you just bought the Slate VRS,
yeah,
mic system, and
that thing is. Loved it, and it just fell to pieces as soon as Mac turned to M1. You can't use it on all the M1, M2s, M3s.
No support for it at all. No
support for it at all.
Because I know when I bought this, my computer here is the M1.
Mm.
That was the first one, and same as everyone, all the plugins stopped working.
Yeah, man.
had to run Logic on Rosetta. Which means a whole bunch of my Waves plugins didn't work. And
yep, I hear you.
Well, yeah. But I think it's sort of I've reinstalled my Wave stuff and my it sort of seems to be going all right at the moment. But that older pre M1. Sort of hardware and sound card stuff from Slate.
Yep. Yeah. Man. Well, that stuff still goes. It's still pretty mean.
Yep.
You can still use it on Windows, though.
Okay.
So if you're a PC user, there's still an HDMI, PCI card you can use, but you can't use it on M1. So, boo.
Right.
Stink, man.
And was there any sort of warning of that? Or
there was just a warning when you went into the site, said it does not work on M1. Because it was
after you brought your M1.
Yeah. Oh, man. The headaches are trials and tribulations, brother.
Yeah.
But in terms of gear that I've bought, I haven't really been buying any. There's a cool little sound card that I got, which is just the old Symphony desktop. Just a big fan of the Apogee converters.
Yep.
So I use that most of the time, and I've been running heaps with the Ableton Push.
Okay.
So that makes just creating really easy. Pardon me. And my favorite new plugin at the moment is Transition or Transit from Baby Audio. It's pretty versatile little plugin, that one. Bunch of effects and stuff, and you can just go crazy on it. Yeah, it's mean.
Yeah, cool. Very good. Now, I saw a video on the social media the other day. You were moving a studio. There was a studio box on the back of a crane. So what's that? What was going on there?
Oh, yeah. I had my little pod studio set up in Mount Maunganui there. I live in Papamoa, and it was just, 15, 20-minute drive to get there. And had the chance to move it at a friend's place just around the corner.
Oh, great.
From where I live, so it's just closer. Hence the move. But
that's cool.
Yeah, I'll be there today, but I didn't get up early enough.
So the pod studio. So is it a little? Is it soundproof in there? So, or was it just your? Is it just your space?
Yeah. I helped build it as well, so it's not completely soundproof. But the acoustics inside it are controlled enough for the size of the room. I just built all the panels and everything. Everything all done by hand, bro, you know?
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's cool, man. Like, can do some proper vocal takes and all that stuff there. Yeah, it's a cool little spot to create some stuff.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. And what about drums? Can you put drums in there or not?
Only thing can't do is drums.
Okay.
Yeah. Need a proper room and a bunch of, you know, heaps of mics, heaps of pre's.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got enough to do drums, but just don't have the nice sounding room.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So when you are recording drums in, where do you go for that? Is there somewhere local or you go out of town?
Yeah, we've been going to in the Mount studio called 11B. Mm-hmm. Plenty of options there, vintage mics, heaps of drum kits, modern mics as well. So we throw all the mics up and then just figure out which sound we want.
Mm.
Yeah, whether it's vintage or whether it's a modern sounding one, or, you know, change the kit out in and out. Yeah, that's been our go-to space. Don't have to go too far.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. All right. Yeah, so today is the Tuesday, the 2nd of April. So on the Friday, the 12th of April, you're here in Sydney, the Manning Bar.
Yeah.
And I've seen you fellas here play here before, the last time you were here. So me and the company boys were there.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, yeah. And then the time before that you were here, you played at the Oxford Art Factory. And I think that may have been one of the last gigs you may have done with the OG lineup.
Yeah.
Because Brad was
on. That was a while ago now, eh?
It was. That would have been
2015, 13,
13, 12, 13, yeah, because my youngest daughter was just a baby. I remember that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Yeah, no, it'd be nice to get back there, man. Like we, post-COVID, we've only done one show in Australia. That was in Gold Coast. Yep. So it'd be nice to get back to the main centres again and, yeah, with our bros, the Black Seeds, you know?
Yeah, right, cool. So how did that sort of piggyback tour, or not piggyback, double-header tour come about?
Yeah, I think it was just a conversation between Craig and our management. And so, hey, this will be a good fit, man. Let's take the boys over. And we've never toured with the Black Seeds before. We've always played at the same festivals together, one-offs here and there. We played with them in Paris one time as well, but we've never done an actual run of shows with them.
Mm.
So this will be cool, man. And, you know, good bunch of lads, classic music. And So True's probably got to be the most classic summer Kiwi song.
Yeah, yeah.
In New Zealand, eh?
Yeah, for sure. So you're playing, Sydney, Melbourne. You're playing Brisbane. You're playing Byron.
Yeah,
Byron Bay.
That's it.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you played Byron before?
Yeah, yeah, a couple of times.
Yep.
Yeah, at the corner bar there.
Okay.
And there was another place, I can't remember what it was. Great Northwestern or something. Great Northerner or something.
No, I'm not sure.
Big massive speakers that look like Fender guitar amps.
Yeah, cool.
But yeah, that should be fun, man.
So have you got new music that's going to be coming out soon that you're in the process of recording? And
Yeah, we got it's about three songs we're just trying to finish off at the moment. We probably won't get them done before Australia.
Yeah, yeah.
But once the Aussie tour's finished, come back and finish those off.
Yep.
And then amalgamate what we got together. And throw them out there.
Yeah, that's cool. So any idea of what you might be running on in the set when you're here in Sydney?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a mixture of the old stuff and a mixture of new stuff. Yeah, it's actually been a mean set, man. And we got one cover song. Don't normally do covers, but it's kind of an indication of or homage to the funk that we like.
Yep.
So, yeah, and just bring the energy and bring the old the power play.
Yeah, nice.
Boom.
Nice. I'm looking forward to you reading the room so I can see the stand up on the speakers.
Straight off the bat, bro. Boom.
Boom. Yeah, we're here. We've been waiting for you a long time, man. Yeah. Yeah, so you got I think your daughter's around my oldest daughter's age, and then you've got your son. How old's your son now? Like three?
3 years old, yeah.
Yeah, three. Cool. So are your kids going down the musical route at all?
Yeah, Coco's she's actually really good at music.
Oh, great.
So she's a guitar, can sing and play the guitar, bit of keys, and yeah, tattoos around with a whole bunch of things, but she's right into the arts. She was kind of surrounded by the arts growing up. Young fella, still yet to find out, but yeah, he's very much like his dad. Hard to contain.
Out of the box, so, bro. Out of the box.
Yeah.
Yeah, my youngest daughter's the same. Yeah, you just got to let him go, eh? Just got to let him go.
Yeah. But so I'm not sure if he's going to be a muso, but
yep.
Yeah, we'll soon find out, bro.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, this is sort of a, you know, as you know, both being fathers of daughters, right? And this is sort of off the subject of music, but you know, technology and social media and you know the kids' fads and all that sort of stuff is, you know, it's, I guess when we were young, because there wasn't so much social media around, if there was some sort of new thing happening, we found out about it sort of because everyone was doing it, right? So, you know, I guess what I'm concerned about as a father of a teenage daughter on social media is being able to keep up with the trends and sort of what's going on. So, yeah, have you got a – is there any sort of apps or things that you know, sort of purposely seek out to try and be up to date with what's sort of getting thrown around on the teenagers?
Oh, I think it just takes up too much of my headspace, bro.
Yeah.
You know, like as much as I try and do posts and stuff, even just on Instagram or Facebook, TikTok is definitely leading the way.
Yeah.
And then you need a team. You need a team that takes care of that for you, because it really does. Unless you're just constantly on your phone pushing out, it's just advertising most of the time, you know, and that takes up so much of my brain space that I'm just exhausted to create. And it's something that I dread, to be honest, but it's just part of the game now. You have to accept it. You've got to be part of whatever. You don't have to follow the movements, but you have to be seen being active online. And, you know, we're not young, bro. I'm 45, bro, and it's like trying to teach my mum and dad how to use TikTok or how to use things, you know. And kids are just so used to it. When things change, they move with it. You get past 40, bro, you're just like, I just like what I like.
Yeah, so, but I'm trying to, you know, with, you know, my youngest daughter, she's 12, so she'll be a teenager at the end of this year, and my oldest girl is 14. So
yeah,
I'm finding that I'm to be able to sort of not be up to date, but got to kind of have my head around it in some sort of sense, you know. So I've got TikTok, and I've tried to push the podcast a little bit on TikTok, but I don't know how it works, man.
Yeah.
Like, I think so. I just post the same stuff that I, you know, if I've released an episode, I'll you know, post it on Instagram, Facebook, and then just almost the same post on TikTok, and then you look at it and it's like far out, like 18,000 people saw it. So straight away it's like, oh man. Got 18,000 new fans, but it's not even that. Eh? It's just like they've just done the swipe through, and because it's been on their screen for 0.2 seconds, it sort of shows up as a view. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
But if you've got like, you can make some really good money off TikTok as well.
Yeah.
Going live, people gift you money. But yeah, man, I'm at this stage of life where I just stick to my lane now, and how I'm perceived or whatever it is just like, this is just who I am, kind of buzz, instead of trying to keep up with the Joneses. Probably to my detriment, but there are apps out there that help you to find the right algorithms to connect you directly with the audience of stuff that you're making. Like, what's that, Social Path, things like that. And they'll just immediately figure out your algorithm and your postal try and reach those people that are more in frequency of what you're trying to release.
What's that called? Social path?
Social path. there's a whole bunch of them now, but Social Path seems to be quite a popular one. That saves you just like blindly throwing down posts and hoping for the best, you know.
So how does that work then? So you make your post and then sort of put it into Social Path and it pushes it out to where.
Yeah, it'll read your algorithms of like people that would normally see your stuff or people that have similar content to what you're releasing, and then it'll try and push it out and reach out to those people instead of, you know, your post, for example. This post may not reach a 12-year-old kid because they have no interest in what we're talking about, but there are people that it'll automatically go, yep, here we go, sweet, and it'll try and reach out to those algorithms. So that can save a whole lot of headache. I'm still trying to learn this stuff too, bro. And it's the least I can spend time on the phone, the better.
Yeah. I'm going to check that out. All right. So it's sort of outside the, you know, posting on social media and, you know, sort of your self-promoting at gigs. Have you thought of any other ways of, you know, sort of getting your music out there, other pathways and that kind of thing?
Yeah. I've been, I've just been trying to write heaps of solo stuff at the moment. Mm. And you can go down the traditional route of, you know, if there's a record label that's interested in you, which I don't want to do. But there are things, Bandcamp have been doing it for a little while now, where an artist could make an album, chuck it on Bandcamp, Bandcamp will go, chuck it, link it up to your website and say, pay what you think it's worth.
Yep.
There's another group I've been watching quite closely called Even.biz, and they've been doing a pretty mean job of, you know, connecting directly with the fans, and that's their whole objective. They're not a record label, they're nothing like that. They just connect directly with your fans and get the fans to pay what they think it's worth. And within one night, you could make $1,500, which is a hell of a lot more than Spotify or the other avenues of streaming. And it also links you to your page where you might have your merchandise. Your merchandise will just be a solid fee. It won't be paid what you think it's worth. But I think that in a lot of ways is the future of where music is going to go. If you want to make money from it, it's just directly connecting with your fans. So yeah, check them out. Even.biz. I reckon they're doing a great job.
All right, bro. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys next week.
And, cool, brother.
Thanks for your time today, and it was good to reconnect and catch up. And glad you're doing well. And yeah, I'm enjoying the new music and looking forward to the next lot of music that comes.
Cool. Thanks, bro. Thanks for reconnecting again, brother.
Nah, too easy, bro.
Yep.
All right. Well, look after yourself, friend. Take it easy, bro.
You too, bro.
All right. See ya.
Cheer, brother.
See ya.
So.
Yo, it's Stevie here. I hope you enjoyed that episode. If you dig the Gig Life podcast, please subscribe, share, leave a review. Please follow us on Instagram and TikTok. You can send me a message if you have an idea for a guest or if you just want to say hello. This podcast is free, costs you nothing. But if you find the value in the Gig Life podcast, you can leave a tip or a donation. Links are in the show notes on your app. That's it for me for now. Catch you next time, guys. Cheers.